everybody, Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks. Tom engineering and producing the program on the other side of the glass. Tom, we are off and running on the month of May, and so far I don't see...
Off and running.
Well,
isn't
I don't
that
see any...
Isn't that this coming weekend? Not this weekend, but next weekend?
No, it's this Saturday. Run for the Roses.
It is this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So
always the first Saturday.
How appropriate,
Saturday
then, off and running.
In May, because when I did my I do's in 1972, it was a Saturday, and the Run for the Roses was going on. And that was 50... That will be 52 years ago. Ann and I celebrated our wedding anniversary. So, I mean, a great run. We are in our 14th year here with the radio program, my 36th year here in Tucson. The second time came out here. The first time, a 17-year-old kid from the North Shore of Chicago, like a bunch of other kids from Chicago, to go to the University of Arizona. Because we had heard, all right, I'll admit it, we had heard it was a party school. Yeah, I had a good time. A lot of the other kids decided, I'm not here for long, but I stuck it out. Actually graduated in 4 years. Steve Christie is with me, Pima County Supervisor, and Steve actually left Tucson to go to college, right, Steve?
I did. I went to...
Unusual. You are local guy, native.
Yeah, and yeah. I always had a love for history and government and politics, surprisingly. And I wanted to go to college in Washington, D.C., and there are several fine universities in the area. I wasn't smart enough or scored well enough to get into a couple of them, but there was one that I really got interested in when I visited there, and it was the American University.
American University.
And I graduated there and with a... Bachelor of Arts in Political Science.
Wow.
Which didn't help me that much
when you were running a car store. Yeah. That didn't help you, but who would know? I mean, sometimes we don't know how our life, well, sometimes, most of the time, we have no idea how our life will evolve, and look at you now.
Yeah, and it's funny, back then and not long after that, you know, that was more important to get the parchment, the sheepskin.
It was a very
just so you could
thing.
Say that you graduated.
Just that you could say you had a college degree. Yeah. It was a really big deal back in the 60s and the 70s. We're in the Green Thing, Zocalo Village Studio on the campus of Bustos Media. We have five radio stations under one roof. This one's KVOI 1030, The Voice. When we do our telephone interviews, and we have one coming up at 12:30 with Dr. David Levy, the telephone interview is presented by our friends at Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. And our newsmaker interview today, Steve Christie, Pima County Supervisor, the lone Republican on the five-member board of, we've got a lot to actually unpack today, talking county business. But first of all, it's good to see you. Supervisor, and I saw you as you walked in, no limp, you had that surgery, the hip surgery, went well, didn't it?
It went well, and I'm...
A little minor tweaking.
Yeah, and that's not to be unexpected, yeah. But it's doing great, my hip's doing great, I'm walking fine, and I'm exercising, and I'm feeling like well before the operation, so I'm very pleased with the outcome and the results.
Let me ask you something about that. When you have one side done, does that eventually devolve into another one?
Well, it's important to note that it was my right side.
Right.
So I'm always going to the right. And it's very, I think, emblematic of my situation.
Yeah.
But it doesn't do anything, as far as I know, to the other side.
Okay, so the other side's okay.
So I can collaborate between both sides.
There you go. Before we talk about the budget, and there's a lot to unpack, we had some pretty good rain this winter, and that's good. And then actually we've had, I think in my 36 years here, I think it's one of the most delightful from a temperature point of view and the rain coming maybe every week or so. Just a delightful winter and early spring. But you know, the problem is, and you are well aware of this, because in your district, the folks up in Mount Lemmon are your constituents. There's a high wildfire risk as now everything's drying out.
There is. We've got some things working in our favor, as you alluded to. It was a wet winter, and the springs are flowing, and the water tanks are full. The Mount Lemmon Water District up there is looking to get another tank. And just so everybody knows, this Saturday is Community Wildfire Awareness Day in Pima County. And Mount Lemmon Firewise, the granddaddy that established its program in 2004 after the Aspen Fire, 20 years ago.
20 years?
20 years ago. Four chapters also have been formed in Green Valley. So it's spreading like wildfire through my district, and that's a great thing. Our office teamed up with Mount Lemmon Firewise folks to produce a flyer, and we sent it to all property owners to increase fire safety awareness. And the United States Forest Service District Ranger told us recently that we probably won't have stage two fire restrictions, which is always good for that area, because of the soil moisture content.
It's that good? The
The readings are up top. Mm-hmm. He expects that the majority of the fire activity will be in the lower elevations, such as in Reddington Pass, so we have to be particularly conscious of that. And have you ever noticed how the Catalinas that were so green are now browning?
I noticed.
That's fuel.
And just even a week or so ago, the Catalinas had a look like Hawaii or something.
Yeah, and that's fuel, and we need to be especially careful while enjoying what we call Pima County's playground.
Hmm.
So we also provide trash bags at the United States Forest Service and Center and the Summer Haven Visitor Centers, and remind everybody, if you're going to bring trash in, take it out with you. Don't leave it in these bags that we provide.
Where are they presented then to the visitor?
At the Summer Haven Visitor Centers and the United States Forest Service Welcoming Center. So we're trying everything we can to make sure that we are respectful of our Sky Islands, and one of our great assets in Pima County.
It's wonderful. The water's been running in Sabino. It's so pretty and soothing to hear that water. And you also had this flyer about really good advice. Clean the area directly around your home. I know I did it. I didn't do it, actually. A friend did it, helped me. Clean the weeds away from certainly within 5 feet of your home.
Yeah, it's a great program. You have to go through
the immediate kind of
an accreditation
zone of danger
and be certified. And as I said, we have four new chapters of this down in Green Valley, because that's a dangerous area for wildfires as well. And surprisingly and gratefully enough, we have I think as many looking into becoming members of the Firewise chapters in the foothills. So that's always a good thing to know.
And it's part of something called Firewise USA.
Yeah, this is a national effort to make people aware of what they can do to protect their property, protect their homes, and make sure that they're doing everything possible to keep not only fires from starting, but once they start, not to spread any worse.
And again, May 4th, that'll be Saturday, Firewise Community Preparedness Day. So a good day to get out there and get rid of all that, clear the area around the house.
Exactly.
For sure.
And always be conscious that it's just not one time you should do this, but all times.
You had quite a celebration for your friend Jim Click. Jim turned 80 years old.
Yes. It was, of course, a personal...
80 years old, Jim Click. I always think, he's one of these guys you think of forever young, right?
The first thing he said when he stepped up to the podium was, "Hi, everybody." So it was a personal privilege for me to be able to present it to him, because we go back to the 70s, and he's always been a special hero in my life, both personally and, of course, professionally. And it was indeed a great honor and privilege to present him with this proclamation. And I get the feeling he was very moved by it, and it was well received. And I also think well deserved for mm-hmm. what he has done to our community.
Did your AutoStars compete in a? I mean, if it was a friendly way, of course you competed.
Well, I always outsold them, so it really no. It we'd always all of the new car dealers in Tucson. We all genuinely liked each other. We had lunch together every Monday. We kept each other in line if our advertising got kind of on the edgy side. If there was some issues with some employees, we'd let each other know about these things. And but we were very sociable with each other and genuinely liked each other and genuinely got along. And that's one part of the auto industry that in Tucson that I miss is those Tucson New Car Dealer Association luncheons.
Yeah, and of course, you know, remember Boopaw.
Oh, yes.
Jim's dad. Mm-hmm. I mean, I remember Boopaw doing those commercials.
How about Hank Lomanac?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I can't remember when Boopaw passed on, but it's
In 2002.
2002 already. Whoa. Almost, well, over 20 years.
He died within 3 or 4 days of my stepdad, Ed Galloway, so.
Wow.
It remains.
One more question before, and then we'll take the break, but auto dealers in town were not open on Sunday. I don't know if they still have kept that. Was that a gentleman's agreement of some kind?
It was really more of an individual choice because the auto industry, the retail part of it is very grueling as far as the hours are concerned.
Sure.
So from a standpoint of keeping your
12
employees...
12-hour days, 6 days a week,
yeah,
for sure.
At least 12 hours and at least keep your employees healthy and happy. I know from my standpoint, I always had Sunday closure.
We're going to talk, take a deep dive into the budget in segment two with Pima County Supervisor, Republican representing District 4. But right now, there's good news at Mona's. They're celebrating this week. Tucson Lifestyle Magazine named Mona's Danish Bakery. It wasn't just the lifestyle. I think the readers as well named Mona's the number one bakery in town, the bakery of choice. And we'll second the motion. Northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise, home of the Danish Kringle, monasdanishbakery.com is their website. And they are open 6:30 in the morning. They take Monday off. You can do alcoholic beverages now with kind of a mimosa, champagne and orange juice at breakfast. You could have a beer. They've got imported and domestic beers, some pretty good beers. I'm not into beer, but I know a lot of people in this community are, and I know that they have a wide variety of some great choices of beers. We'll take a break right here. Steve Christie back with me for segment two on our Thursday edition of Buckmaster. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Buckmaster show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, pedestrian, bicycle, and many other transportation improvements across the region. Pima County voters approved the plan in 2006, and the RTA is finalizing a new 20-year plan for RTA board review and approval to seek public feedback on the draft plan. Sign up at rtanext.com for updates. Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things, Zocalo Village Studios. Green Things, I was talking earlier about how much I've enjoyed winter weather here and then the early spring. It's been wonderful for the plants that are growing out at Green Things, and those plants are ready for you to take home after you visit their 13-acre site, 3384 East River Road. You know, they have such a variety of plants, and I love the fact that when you go in there, you ask their knowledgeable sales staff, you know, I'd like something that's going to survive 110 degrees, which is a reasonable question for our area. And if you do gardening, they'll walk you over to the areas. There are plants that actually can take that kind of sun. They'll thrive. They'll walk you over to the right area there. 3384 East River Road, greenthingsac.com. and ZocaloVillage.com, the websites. Steve Christie is here, Pima County Supervisor, Republican, the Loan Supervisor. The Loan Republican Supervisor.
Sometimes I feel like the Loan Supervisor.
In the 4th Supervisorial District. You know I had to get that in there at some point. I'd love to say Supervisorial. I've got a couple of questions. We are going to get to the budget, but Jeff is on the live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management and wants to go back to the auto stores, to the dealerships. Go ahead, Jeff, with your question.
Thank you. Good afternoon, fellas. It seems like a lot of Tucson's history is kind of slip-sliding away these days. One big piece, I thought Bill would remember this for sure. Steve, maybe not so much. I got to Tucson in 1966, courtesy of the Air Force.
Yeah.
They invited me up. And there was a little thing in place in those days called the Blue Laws. Everything in Tucson was closed on Sunday.
I recall that. I came in 65, and I remember you would drive up Speedway. Nothing was open. Go ahead,
Jeff. Nothing was open.
Yeah.
No department stores, no gas stations. If you needed gas, you better get her on Saturday.
That's right.
If you wanted a six-pack of beer, you better get it on Saturday.
Yeah.
If you needed a pot roast for Sunday dinner, you better get it on Saturday.
Yes.
So around 1968, somewhere in the late 60s there, the thing that I remember breaking that stranglehold on that the Blue Laws had on Tucson was a department store called Safeway, the first discount department store that ever came to Tucson. I don't know if it was the first one in the world or whatever, but it was the first one here. And Safeway didn't feel compelled to stay closed on Sunday, and they were open.
Excuse me, Jeff. You're talking about Safeway, the grocery store?
No, Safeco. I'm sorry, I misspoke. I'm getting old. I do that all the time. Safeco, yeah.
Safeco.
It was the Ravens now, I believe, unless it's changed.
Okay, Safeco.
Yeah, Safeco.
All right.
And it was a discount store. Do you guys remember Blue Laws, where you couldn't buy a pair of blue jeans at a? They had to all be the same price. Not Blue Laws, but Fair Trade Laws.
Yeah. Let me ask Steve what he remembers about all this. Go ahead. Jeff.
Thanks for that, Jeff. Trip down memory lane. I was a little bit younger then, and I don't really recall the Blue Laws. And I think I'm not sure when that all changed, but I would have to say probably in the 70s. And maybe that was the forerunner of what created the situation with the car dealers closing.
Yes, it could be. All right. Thank you, Jeff. quickly, getting back to the fire issues, in Florida, certain areas of Florida, up in the Bay Area, parts of California, the name, the big brand insurers are taking a second look at certain areas, and they, if they think there's too much risk, they're gone.
And we're experiencing that same type of behavior of insurance companies in the Mount Lemmon area. And we are, my office is presenting an agenda item to discuss that issue on Tuesday's Board of Supervisors meeting. And it's a very scary and anxiety-ridden issue. I mean, how would you like to be able to finally be having a beautiful mountain home in Mount Lemmon and Summer Haven, and all of a sudden you're faced with the fact that you can't acquire homeowners insurance on it? So as some people say, the companies are picking and choosing what is the best population, shall we say, or location to keep on providing homeowners insurance. And they're also saying, well, these are high-risk areas for fire, and you know what? We're just going to pull out. Mm-hmm. So we're going to have a discussion on that at Tuesday's board meeting. A lot of folks from Mount Lemmon and the White Mountains up in Sholo, Pine Top, that area, they're going through it as well. So we're having a lot of folks, a number of folks from Summer Haven and Mount Lemmon, come down to the Board of Supervisors meeting and speak to it and call to the audience to make this issue aware and perhaps get some action legislatively, either from the state or national levels.
The budget, the recommended budget for 2025 fiscal year, keeps total property tax rate unchanged. We had a listener wondering, there was a lot of money that was budgeted for full-time staff that were never hired. What exactly happened to the money is the question from a listener.
Well, it's always been there and kind of sequestered away in the hopes that those positions would be filled. And what that basically does is it ties up taxpayer money for no purpose. So what we're looking at, my office is looking at, is ways to make sure that that's kind of been like a cushion. That, well, we have this money kind of stashed away in a special area that will never be utilized, so we can take that money and fill in gaps in other areas that the budget is not filled up in. So I think it's a great move that we're doing as far as looking at essential jobs and closing out jobs that have remained vacant. If they've been vacant for 300, 400, 500 days, then they're certainly not essential, and they certainly don't need to be on the books, and they certainly don't need to be funded. So that's that issue.
Supervisor Hines, Dr. Hines, was on the program Monday, and he would like to see the property tax rate not stay unchanged. He would like to see it raised so there could be money for more social welfare programs.
Well, many of my colleagues, Dr. Supervisor Hines included, have never seen a tax rate they don't want to increase. I chided them a couple of meetings ago by saying my colleagues are in a quandary, so little time and so much in taxes to raise. And I have Dr. Hines, Supervisor Hines, and Supervisor Lee on record for stating that they will make efforts to raise the primary property tax. The issue that we want to do is to keep a tax revenue neutral. Sure, you can keep the primary property tax level or the same, but when you have a rising assessment of values that is played off of the primary property tax, your taxes will go up. So what you can do to counter that is, as the values rise, you lower the primary property tax to compensate for that rise in assessed values. And when you hear my colleagues say, we haven't raised the primary property tax, yet everybody's saying my taxes are going up, everybody's right. They are going up because the assessments are going up. So what needs to be done is you drop the primary property tax and make it so that it offsets the rise in assessments. Several of my colleagues have stated they're not interested in doing that. I think Supervisor Hines has stated that he's willing to go up for two more dollars per 100 assessed value, somewhere around $6 per assessed value, as opposed to the $4 that it's at now. This is tough for folks in my district that are on savings and on monthly incomes that they've got to stick to. And it means a lot when you're talking, when you have a home that's maybe $250,000, $300,000. So we're going to be fighting everything we can to keep our primary property tax in line from the assessment so that there is a net either median price that doesn't go up or median cost, or we can actually lower overall taxes.
Well, it's going to be a very interesting and could get contentious discussion about Pima County's budget. All right, Supervisor.
Oh, did I tell you one other thing? I keep forgetting.
What was that?
I love being supervisor.
Yeah, we have heard it. We have heard that. All right, Steve Christie, thank you very much. Steve Christie, Republican from District Number 4.
Thank you, Bill.
All right, thank you. David Levy, Dr. David Levy, comet discoverer, former Parade Magazine science editor, will be on our live line right after this.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
Are you ready to immerse yourself in a diverse culture while wandering through bustling markets, sampling exotic cuisines, or forging connections with people from all walks of life? Well, Bon Voyage Travel is here to plan your perfect journey. Whether you're setting off on a solo expedition, embarking on a group adventure, or simply dreaming of far-off destinations, we can help create your custom experience. The road ahead is filled with endless possibilities. Visit bvtravel.com to find your specialized Bon Voyage Travel advisor today.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, Thursday edition. John Kameek will be with me tomorrow. John heads up Tucson Water. Perfect time of year to bring him in for our Friday Focus interview, talking about the water situation as we transition into summer. And as we transition into summer, if you're looking to cool off, how about Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico? We like to say it's 10 degrees cooler at least over there because of the elevation. Right now it's 73 degrees. Lovely day in southwestern New Mexico. Start your planning now by visiting Their website, southwestnewmexico.org. For more information about the trip over to Silver City, just a three-hour drive, not bad at all, and a ton of outdoor activities over there as well. On our live line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management, is Dr. David Levy, the Buckmaster Show contributor on science, former science editor of Parade Magazine, famous comet discoverer, 23 comets to his credit, including his co-discovery of Shoemaker-Levy 9 back in 1994. David Levy on our live line. Dr. Levy, how are you, sir?
Well, I could be a little bit better, but I'm not doing too badly. I just came back a few days ago from the Northeast Astronomy Forum in New York, where I gave two wonderful lectures. But I came back with COVID.
Oh, no.
But it's a very mild case, Bill. Mm. And as we talked yesterday, I even forgot to tell you about it yesterday.
Yeah.
But I'm doing all right. It's very mild, and every day I'm improving.
Astro COVID for Dr. David Levy.
Astro COVID, yes. What I want to talk about was Astro COVID. During the long COVID shutdown we had years and years, I got to use a lot of Zoom meetings. I'm in fact one a day, and I'm still on several a week right now. And I'm really enjoying it, and things are going very well. And that was the last trip that I took, and it'll be the last one I'll be taking for a while.
Mm-hmm.
But before that, I came back from an event in Leakey, Texas, that I believe is on our list of things to talk about today.
Well, yeah, I wanted to hear about your impressions of the total solar eclipse.
We were completely clouded, and the forecast was right going a week into it. It certainly didn't look very good, but we decided to stick with our original plan. We went there, and the day of the eclipse, there were a lot of clouds, but we were able to get a lot of views of the incoming partial eclipse that really worked out very nicely. But as the moon's shadow entered Mexico and started climbing northward, the sky got a lot cloudier, a lot colder, and the temperature dropped like a rock. You could actually feel it plummeting every few seconds. And we weren't going to see it. And the group said, well, we're not going to see totality, but would you do a quotation? And I did. And they seemed to appreciate it. There was some applause, but they seemed to appreciate the poem. 20 seconds after I finished reading the poem, Bill, there was the corona. It just came out. And it was absolutely the most beautiful thing I've seen in my life.
Oh, my gosh. And you've seen
it
a lot.
We saw it for approximately 30, 35 seconds, and it was a holy thing.
Wow.
And after that, we could see it a few times here and a few times there. And then it was over. The sky began to brighten, and it was over.
Mm.
Only it wasn't over. As I was looking up towards the clouded over sun, suddenly the sun broke through again, and I could see what's called Bailey's beads.
What?
As the sunlight is shining through valleys on mountains of the moon at the very edge of the moon. It was absolutely the best view of Bailey's beads I've ever seen.
Wow.
And I like to imagine, you know, this was very sad for me because, as I'm sure you can relate to this, Bill, that Wendy wanted so much to see this eclipse. She wanted to stay alive so much to see this eclipse, but I had to observe it for her. And I like to think that up in heaven, Wendy was talking to God and saying, well, show him the eclipse. And God said, well, I don't know. Your David hasn't been all that well-behaved lately. I don't know if I'm going to show it to him. And Wendy looked at God and said, show him the darned eclipse. And God looked at Wendy and said, well, you're the boss. And suddenly I got to see the eclipse.
After
it was over, Wendy looked at God and said, no, you're the boss. And God said, you're right, I am the boss. Except I have asked you to take care of my David, and you're doing just that.
Very nice.
And I'm proud of you.
Very nice. All right. Quickly, David, before the quote of the month, any meteor showers to keep an eye on?
Yeah, there is. There's a lovely meteor shower coming up in early May. It is called the Eta Aquarids, and they're from Halley's Comet.
Hmm.
And we talked about Halley's Comet a lot because even though Francis Bailey is credited with the discovery of Bailey's beads from the eclipse, it was Edmund Halley that first described them 125 years earlier.
Wow.
And so we owe a lot to our comet friend.
All right, time for the Dr. David Levy quote of the month. Dr. Levy.
The quote of the month this time is from Macbeth. And he talks about eclipses in a way that no one else could do. No scientist or writer really could do. And it's in Macbeth. And Shakespeare is describing the reaction to the murder of Duncan. And everybody knows that Macbeth did it. And they're all gossiping about it. And suddenly Ross says, "By the clock 'tis day, and yet dark night hides the traveling lamp. Is it the night's predominance, and yet dark night strangles the traveling lamp? Is it the night's predominance or the day's shame? The darkness of the face of earth and tomb when living light should kiss it."
Very appropriate. Thank you very much, Dr. David Levy. We'll talk to you first Thursday in June. Thank you.
First Thursday in June. I'll try to be better behaved by then.
Okay, thank you, Dr. David Levy. Always a pleasure. Take a break right here, Buckmaster, with Attorney Don Luce. The consular is in the house. Be right back.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com. The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax. The RTA is the largest annual funder of regional transportation improvements in the region, averaging more than $100 million in tax revenue each year. The RTA is preparing a new 20-year plan for public review prior to a May 2025 election. Sign up at rtanext.com for updates.
At Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Joining me in studio, attorney Don Luce of the Luce Law Group, offices in Tucson. They have a beautiful office here in Tucson. And they have a couple offices in the Phoenix area. Mr. Luce, the Buckmaster Show, one office in the Phoenix area, or two?
One.
I just gave you an additional office.
Well, it's enough.
Yeah, I know. Don Luce, the Buckmaster Show legal contributor, author of two very popular books, Arizona Laws 101, A Handbook for Non-Lawyers, that's like people like you and me, and Estate Planning in Arizona, What You Need to Know, and You Need to Know About It, Believe Me. Both books in their second printing. Don, how are you today?
I'm good, Bill. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's always a delight to have you in the studio, and today, very serendipitous, the Arizona Senate voted to repeal the territorial abortion ban. When I say territorial, we're talking like early Arizona territory, right?
I think it's even before you and I can remember.
Yeah. Wow.
So in 1864, the first legislative assembly enacted the statute, which is at the center of today's controversy. So imagine that, 1864.
Civil War was raging.
Yeah, yes,
and,
yes.
And the capital Arizona was not Phoenix. It was Prescott.
I was going to say, Arizona had not yet attained statehood. That
no.
didn't happen until 1912.
Mm-hmm.
So 1864, the statute was enacted by the first legislative assembly and has remained on the books ever since. It's been attacked a few times. The most recent attack, I believe, was in the early 70s before Roe versus Wade. It was upheld. It was deemed to be constitutional. But I think it would merit a quick minute of our time to actually look and see what the statute itself says, because it's pretty straightforward. And it's,
I was wondering, is it nowadays, you know, I don't need to tell you, you're an attorney, how long the legal language is. But back in 1864, I am curious how, you know, right to the point or what?
Well, if you can, if you can stand one sentence, yes.
What?
Yes. So the statute is in Title 13. It's 13-3603. And as we both know, it is still on the books. May not be for long, but it is now. It reads, a person who provides, supplies, or administers to a pregnant woman or procures such woman to take any medicine, drugs, or substance, or uses or employs any instrument or other means whatever with intent thereby to procure the miscarriage of such woman, unless it is necessary to save her life, shall be punished by imprisonment in the state prison for not less than 2 years nor more than 5 years.
Mm.
One sentence. It's a long sentence.
Yeah, it's a long sentence.
But that's
run-on sentence. Yeah, but it's long.
That's what the law is as we sit here today. Now, as you said, it's a bit serendipitous because I believe Governor Hobbs today...
Yeah, this afternoon.
Mm-hmm, ...will sign mm-hmm. the measure repealing the law that I just read to you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the problem with the timing on that, however, is that legislative measures which are signed by the governor generally don't take effect until 91 days after the legislative session ends.
They are not immediate, in other words.
No.
No.
So typically, you know, we have a part-time legislature. It meets, convenes in January of each year, and it goes through generally May, sometimes June, mm-hmm. you know, depending on the number mm-hmm. of bills that it's considering. So we don't know when this legislative session will end, but by all accounts, it's not going to end much before the end of May. So, if
and
you,
I'm hearing we had Nancy Gutierrez with us, the House Minority Whip, was with us on our Friday Focus interview, and she said it's very possible, Don Luce, it could go till the end of June.
So then we're looking till the end of September before the repeal would take effect. Now, the problem with that, as far as timing is concerned,
mm-hmm.
is that the Supreme Court on April 9th, in a case known as Planned Parenthood Arizona versus Mays, upheld the enforceability of the 1864 statute. That decision will probably take effect on June 25th. So as of June 25th, unless it's extended, and I can talk about that if you'd care to, but as of June 25th, it will be allowable to enforce the 1864 statute. The repeal of the 1864 statute will not come earlier, by all accounts, than September of this year. So there's a window of a couple of months, potentially, where the 1864 statute is enforceable, mm-hmm. according to the Arizona Supreme Court decision, which came out about a month ago. The governor, as you know, has instructed the county attorneys throughout the state of Arizona essentially not to prosecute any abortion law violations, and has essentially said the attorney general has the exclusive right to make that decision as to whether to prosecute or not prosecute. And the attorney general, Mays, has announced that she is not going to prosecute any violations. But for organizations like Planned Parenthood and physicians who perform these types of medical procedures, that is a very uncomfortable position to be in. And as you and I have discussed on other occasions, for a physician, you're not only concerned with prosecution, but you are you should be concerned with the medical license that was issued to you, which is predicated upon, in part, obeying the law.
Yes.
So if you're performing a procedure that is against the law, you may not be prosecuted, but you may face consequences relative to your professional professional licensure. Okay, so those are the general issues. If I could digress for a quick minute. So after Arizona became a state, the 1864 law was codified. It was in Title 13, which is the criminal statute section of the Arizona Revised Statutes. In 1971, the law was challenged in a case right here in Tucson. It was brought by Planned Parenthood. The court held that the statute, the Court of Appeals held that the statute was not unconstitutional. In 1973, as everyone knows, the United States Supreme Court in Roe versus Wade declared or held that the United States Constitution gives rights to women to essentially to abortion with various restrictions. That Roe decision remained law for nearly 50 years, half a century. In 2022, two things happened. The Arizona legislature enacted what is now Title 36, 2322. This is the statute that provides for abortion through the fifth. It doesn't give the right to abortion. It's the opposite. It prohibits abortion after 15 weeks of gestation. Okay. So in June of 2022, the United States Supreme Court reversed its decision in Roe versus Wade in a case known as Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health Organization, saying that we made a mistake 50 years ago. The United States Constitution does not afford women the right of abortion. Okay, so reversed its decision 180 degrees. Based on that, the Arizona legislation, which had occurred just months earlier, became important because now 13-3603, which was the 1864 law, came back into play, right, with Dobbs. And now you had two statutes that were seemingly saying different things. Under one statute, which I read, there is no right to abortion. In fact, it's a crime unless to save the life of the woman. And under the other statute, it doesn't become prohibited until week 16, essentially. So the So the Arizona Supreme Court in Planned Parenthood, Arizona versus Mays, which, as I mentioned, came out a month ago, the court said that the 13-3603 statute is still enforceable. And then, as we know, last week, the Arizona House, in a 32-28 vote, passed a measure to repeal the Civil War era law. And this week, the Senate, on a 16-14 vote, did the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that measure is now before the governor. And as you mentioned, she's probably going to sign it this afternoon.
So in 2022, this was a measure that the governor, then Doug Ducey, was backing. Why was the appeal not made, or why did the 1864 law, why was that not appealed at that time?
Well, the legislature was operating under Roe versus Wade when it enacted that statute,
okay.
which said that the United States Constitution provided a constitutional right.
Okay.
So they said in the legislation, however, interestingly, that they are not repealing the 1864 law.
So the language was in there about the 1864 law.
Very clear. Very clear. Could not be more clear. They said that we're not repealing the statute 13-3603. And then they went on to say that after 15 weeks, abortion is prohibited except under specific circumstances. And the 2022 law set those forth.
Hmm. So presumably we're looking at the 2022 law eventually here after this settles out.
Right. So
that being the law of Arizona.
Yes. But, yes.
Yeah.
But we're also looking at potentially one or more ballot measures.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
So that adds another element into the timeline. If a measure is put on the November ballot,
mm-hmm.
the Arizona voters will have a right to vote on it in early November.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't take effect until the results are certified, yeah. which would be late November.
Yeah.
So we're looking at the potential of enforceability of the 1864 law as early as June 25th. And we're looking at the repeal of that law probably no earlier than September. And then if the law is changed yet again by a ballot measure, that won't take effect until the certification, which will likely be the end of November.
Don Luce, thank you so much for really laying all of that out. Very, very easy to follow. I appreciate it, Don.
My pleasure.
Great job. Don Luce, the author of two very popular books, Arizona Laws 101, A Handbook for Non-Lawyers, and Estate Planning in Arizona, What You Need to Know. Both books are in their second printing. Don Luce has the Luce Law Group, beautiful office here in Tucson, and up in the Valley of the Sun. On behalf of Don Luce and Tom, engineering and producing our program on the other side of the glass, Bill Buckmaster, wishing everybody well, and we'll be back with you for our Friday Focus interview, talking water, appropriate time of year for sure. John Kamik will be with us of Tucson Water tomorrow.